Hello, and welcome to our third annual telesummit on the right ADHD trail. Unfortunately, I had to take last year off due to family losses, but we're back today with 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field. They will share their knowledge and experience with us to help you climb the pinnacle of success. We're going to fill your backpacks with some of the tools and tips that men with ADHD are challenged with on a daily basis. You will get tips on how to harness your off time, ADHD self-regulation and digital addiction awareness, finding spiritual connection despite distractions, your money, mindset, and strategy, and sex and ADHD, and so much more. But first, let me introduce myself. I am Kathy Gett, owner of Get Focus Private Coaching Service. I am a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. You can find out more about my private practice at getfocus.com. That's spelled G-O-E-T-T focus. While working with my male clients, I realized that there was so much information and many excellent telesummits that were really geared to women, but nothing for the men. So here we are, climbing the trail for the third annual telesummit for men and their loved ones. But before we go any further, I'd like to thank my good friend and mentor, Lori Dupar, and International Coach Training Center for being my sponsor and making this event a success. The fall 2021 training starts September 14th. To find out more, go to iaccenter.com. Now, I realize how busy your lives are, and you just may not have the time to sit down for many hours to listen to this telesummit, packed full of information. But I have the solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you get extended digital access to all the recordings on the telesummit, transcript of our audio conversation, and a special bonus. You are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking, let's get started with our next presenter, Dr. Sarah Scheidt. Dr. Sarah Scheidt is an MD, graduated cum laude in cognitive neuroscience from Princeton University, and received her medical degree from UCLA Medical School. Following specialty training in pediatrics, she has established a pediatric neurology practice at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation. She treats people with ADHD with medication and non-medication strategies, such as those outlined in her books, ADHD and a Focused Mind, a great book, Winning with ADHD, and ADH and Me. She brings a powerful professional perspective on the benefits and limitations of ADHD medication and the many behavioral adaptations people with ADHD must embrace to thrive with their condition. She and her husband, Benjamin, have four kids and live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Dr. Scheidt's fun isn't just fun, is critical for stamina and focus, how to harness your off time. She believes you can't get work done unless you have fun. Off time is as important as the on time. The off time rejuvenates our brain and body so we can perform at our peak during the on time. It prepares us to be at our most focused best as soon as the on time starts again. Having team quality off time is therefore crucial for the on time. Dr. Scheidt discusses what kinds of fun are most rejuvenating, which are problematic, and how to schedule effective fun into your daily life. Welcome, Dr. Scheidt. So glad to have you here today.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me here today. It's really a pleasure to be part of your summit.
Thank you so much. Well, what would you say about fun, Dr. Scheidt?
I want your entire audience to have lots of fun. And not just to have fun, but because unless you have fun, you really can't do work. And I can tell you a little bit about that. I think the best way to understand that is by thinking about world-class athletes. So, you know, the Olympics and everything. Boy, These athletes work hard. They have single-minded determination to reach almost impossible goals. They give everything that they have, but they have techniques that are called interval training, where they're not on all the time. They have on bursts, and they train really hard during those bursts, and that alternates with off times where they rest or exercise only lightly. By doing so, they can build up power and stamina. The on time is the most visible part of that. You know, you see them working out. And oftentimes, beginner athletes focus only on what they do during the on time. How much do you lift? How fast do you run? How far do you run? But the off time is extremely crucial, and the most experienced athletes know this. They would say that the off time is at least as important as the on time. Without the off time, they can't even have good on time. Think about a tennis star in the break between sets. If they can get some quality off time, they can use that to erase from their consciousness the mistakes they made in the previous set or the things that their opponent did that upset them. Instead, they can focus on strategies moving forward. How are they going to win in the next set? If they can make their bodies truly wind down, they will be better rested physically for the next set. I remember watching Yvon Lendl. Growing up, he was one of the great tennis players. He played John McEnroe. That was the great rivalry. And
right.
One of the things that he had was he could, you know, when he was between sets, his blood pressure went down, his heart rate went down, he calmed down much better than McEnroe. And, you know, that part wasn't hard. But, you know, he was really known for resting mentally and physically between sets. Serena Williams more recently went on record as saying how important her off time was. Now, we may not all be sports stars. In fact, most of us aren't. But the same philosophy does apply to all of us. As adults,
that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. How can we incorporate their traits to ramp up our brains then?
So we are not all athletes, but all of us can think like Olympic athletes. We can all think like world-class athletes. And that's one of the things. Well, that's one of the approaches I take to ADHD in my book, ADHD and the Focused Mind, which was actually written with my kid's karate teacher. So we talked about how to use the athletic mindset, even if you're not an athlete, to get the same winning outcome as athletes do. And you can translate this sports metaphor with the on times and the off times to anything you do. I mean, as adults, I'm expected to be on for work, right? And our kids,
right,
they're expected to be on for school. And, you know, with a learning or attention problem, being on is even harder than average. It takes a lot out of all of us. And it's that much more important to take breaks. You know, but just like an athlete, there are good breaks and there are breaks that are not so rejuvenating.
Okay.
You know, the idea is that nobody can focus or be on all the time. So how do you get the focus right when you need it? You can't do that unless you take breaks at time. And then, you know, sort of you may want to know what kinds of fun are the best. You know, how do we rejuvenate the most? And that's
right.
going to be for
Absolutely.
Different. Yeah, that'll be different for different people. You know, I think the key is to look for activities that are at the pace of the natural world. So I believe that our brains are meant to work in, be in a more sort of slower pace of life. You know that feeling you get when you just get to your vacation and you settle into the chair and you start looking at the trees or whatever? It's relaxing. It often takes me a couple of days to kind of wind down, because my brain is used to go, 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 go. We really live in an unnaturally fast-paced life. You know, you think, right? 100 years ago, we had, well, maybe more than 100 years ago, but not much. You know, people were traveling on a horseback or by covered wagon, and they would make, you know, 12 miles a day. And now we're zooming all over the place with 16 dials and onboard computers. That's a lot of input, right?
That is.
And that's just a car.
Absolutely, just the car.
Right?
Nowadays everything goes with you. It used to be you'd leave it at home, but now everything, unfortunately, goes with us.
Right.
And even to the vacation spot, there it will be. And so how do you figure out when you're like on a vacation or something, what is the way to find to get to your good off time?
Yeah. So I would try to think about the pace of what you're doing. You know, being on your phone or on your computer, okay, it's a little bit relaxing. It's kind of relaxing. But studies show that when you do too much, even recreational screens, that tends to lead to anxiety and depression. It moves too fast for our brains. And, you know, they provide a lot of stimulation in a short amount of time. What's going on in your brain is that your brain is getting revved up with lots of dopamine hits from that stimulation. But then once you stop the screens, your brain feels kind of let down and like there's something missing. That's not relaxed. That's bummed.
No.
You know, that's not good. You know,
for sure.
It's like eating sugar all the time. If you ate sugar, 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 and then you had an apple, you go, oh, that apple tastes terrible. But the apple is kind of like real life. The sugar is artificial. And, you know, the apple is the thing that's good for you and that will stay with you. So, you know, trying to avoid electronics, it is a key part of this. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, particularly teenage people. But
even little ones don't like to hear that.
Oh, my gosh. How do you think I'm getting the time to do this Telesummit, Kathy? Don't do what I do, parents, but, you know, that's it. I do recommend, okay, like screens are here to stay. So I am not saying, take a sledgehammer to the, you know, computer or Xbox, although I have volunteered to drive over some of those things with my car. That's another story for another time. But, we all have to learn how to live with electronics. But the idea is to have you be the boss of your electronics. You shouldn't be having your electronics be bossing you around saying, play me, play me, play me, look at me, look at me. And then you go, oh, okay, well, can't have that. We want you to say, I'm going to do this, but then here's how I'm going to stop this. So, you know, the real life is actually fantastic. We are living in, you know, we're just so privileged to be alive. Do something, you know, enjoy this beautiful life. And if you say everything's boring but screens, you got a real problem there. And you know, how do we do this? Because it's the real world that's going to be relaxing. Nature is super helpful. So some of the times when I have teenagers who are screenagers, as the saying goes, at least start by doing it outside. Like, can you move your butt and do your phone outside? Maybe you'll notice a squirrel or something or a bird. But better yet, get out and take a walk. Look at things. There's just fascinating things out there, and nature moves at a pace our brains were evolved to handle.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really important.
Do you suggest when you're like on a family trip, a family vacation stuff, that maybe during the day that everybody has to put their phones down to go outside and do something together to slow the pace?
I would rephrase that, but otherwise fine. I would say everybody gets to put their phone down and everybody gets to go outside.
Because I love that rephrasing.
I just think that's super important. This is not a punishment. This is a privilege. And so, you know, going outside, yes, I definitely recommend that. If you're truly not into Mother Nature or have like the worst allergies ever or whatever, I don't know, but there are indoor activities that can also go at that pace. You know, one example is board games. Interact
board games, right,
with actual other people and not just an avatar, right? Not just a little picture thing.
Right.
But, you know, with board games, you've got to wait your turn. You get there bit by bit. You know, you kind of plot your strategy. You're recognizing some patterns, thinking about strategy. But it gets you also to think about just one thing at a time. You're in the moment. Your brain will be so much more happier and relaxed when your brain just looks at one thing at a time. So, you know, that's really helpful indoors. How about reading a book? I know a lot of ADHDers don't necessarily love reading books, but it is another activity that moves at a very reasonable pace. Again,
we found that putting puzzles together is a good family activity because it requires you to, you know, work together. Maybe somebody will do the frame, or you can walk away and people come back. But it's something that keeps you together and everything when you're doing something. So,
you know, that is a fun thing, unless the puzzle has lots of blue sky and you have to look at shades of
we do simple ones, trust me.
Okay, so I could find that relaxing. I prefer the games where we plot against family members and try to eliminate them, but that's okay, each to their own, right?
That's right.
Right. The main thing is, guess what? This is an alternative to screens, and guess what? It is fun. And, you know, other real world activities could mean things that you work with your hands, you know, produce something.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Right.
That one. Music, that's a good one. Uh-huh.
Garden. Yeah. Art. Mm-hmm. Woodwork. Art. Knitting sweaters. Making the perfect loaf of bread. Whatever, you know, whatever you're
cooking.
Into. Cooking is a good one. I have some patients who went on YouTube and learned how to become blacksmiths. They have forges in their garage.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yep. And this is definitely, kids, don't try this at home unsupervised. Do not burn down the house because of something I said. But I can tell you that there are a million things that I never thought of that, but how cool is that? You know, that's pretty neat.
That's really unique.
And that's real world pace and so many cool things to do. And you feel good about what you did. And it's also out there for everyone to see. So everyone else gives you positive feedback. Like, great job. Great sweater.
For sure.
Great bread, whatever it is. And you can always look at it and that reminds you what you've done and the great feelings that went along with it. So that part is just a lot of fun. I find, you know, I can't draw with a darn. I am at the stick figure stage myself. But, okay. So I find it relaxing to paint with little splotches of color. As long as I don't try to make it look like a person, I think I'll be okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's
all these go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's something for everyone out there. I truly, truly, truly believe that.
So are you saying that, is this just the type of fun you're talking about is like when you're on a family trip? Or is this what you're saying to use as quality off time when you've been working all week and things like that?
Yeah, I want you to have fun every day,
okay.
Period. There has to be some rejuvenation built into part of the day. Now, some people who are super busy may need to build this in little bits, but I'm telling you as a neurologist, as a brain doctor, you can't be on 24/7. You will not be able to do that. You need some resting and relaxing time. Now, you could combine this with some other goals because exercise might be a terrific way to, you know, sort of get your off time and also your exercise time in too. You know, our brains are built to gather rewards from physical activity. And, you know, part of this is just recognizing the rewards that come from things other than work. You know, when you're moving slowly and you have, you're doing real world exercises, your brain has enough time to react and register, hey, this is good. This is positive. When you're exercising, the exercise biologically makes your brain feel good. It releases all sorts of hormones and other chemicals that literally rejuvenate our brain. So, for example, there's something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, like BDNF. It's stimulated by exercise, and it helps you with learning and memory and other cognitive tasks, you know, literally helping your brain make new connections. And when
you're talking about how to build the brain connections right there.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. And so, you know, if you are always working, you're not building brain connections. You've got stress hormones floating around, not brain building connections. And so, you know, your brain needs to have some time where it grows and just kind of recovers. When you exercise, you're also building your mitochondria, not just in your muscle, but your brain. These are the energy producing parts of cells. How great is that? So, you know, basically exercise is helping your brain get nutrients, remove the kind of trash from your brain. You know, it's growing blood vessels when you exercise. These are things that your brain needs to stay healthy. And without that, you know, your brain is not going to be a happy brain, and that's going to impact your ability to do your work, even if that's what you want to do.
Well, I have a question that I know someone would be asking me is, well, are chores considered off time if we've been working all day and we're doing lawn or we're doing, you know, the laundry or whatever? Is that considered off time, or is that
right?
We still got to find something different.
I think it makes a difference if when you're doing your laundry, you approach it with a great attitude. You might blast some music, dance around, see if you can beat your last time in sorting the pile. You know, make it kind of fun. I'm not, you know, talking like Disney where all the animals come out and start sleeping and everyone's singing together. But there's lawn, right? Wouldn't that be nice? I'm still waiting for the little birds to come sweep my floors here. But, you know, the main thing is that, you know, how you view a task does make a difference as to whether it's relaxing or not. So there are no absolute answers. But if it's something that, you know, you're like, laundry, I hate laundry, why do I have to do that? Yeah, no, that doesn't seem too relaxing to me. And if you can learn to make those tasks fun, since the tasks aren't going away, then you're just learning to make life fun, right?
Right. That's right. But I like that. So take a different view on your task, get a really good attitude. I love the singing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost finished here. Our time is coming to the end. Do you have any last thoughts that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, I would just say, Kathy, that, you know, two things. One is connecting to people in real life will help keep you guys having fun. Like, you know, there'll be other people who want to connect back with you. And that's an interaction that would be at the pace of the real world. And just going out for ice cream or tea might be the best thing you can do either for or with your child to maintain a connection and to feel good about the relationship. If you don't have a relationship, then it's hard to get past, you know, sort of the discomfort of fighting and into the productive part of a relationship. So, you know, if you're finding somebody who's burnt out and struggling, go take them out for coffee or ice cream or candy or something fun that they can't say no to. Just sit there and eat with them. And then afterwards, you can talk about the issues. But, you know, start with either people, or if you really don't have other people in your life, maybe you can find a furry friend or a pet in some way to reduce the stress and feel like all is okay. You know, of course, electronics, like we said, they're here to stay, but try not to do more electronics than you're doing with these other things. Try to, you know, if your kid is going to be on the screen, ask them how long they're going to be on the screen for. Ask them when they're going to get off. If they can't get off, then, you know, point out that as a problem. But, you know, then they owe you some reading time or some exercise time or some other hobby time. Try to balance out the inevitable screens with other real world activities.
Well, that sounds great. These ideas are really good. I know that you have a free gift for our listeners. What would you like to tell them about what it is?
Yes, I have a handout which talks about moving from unfocused to focused thinking. And I hope you all download the handout because I think it contains some pretty simple and easy ways to think about improving your focus, which, after all, would be great for all of us.
Yes, it's really good. You call it Big Things Start Small. Yeah, I really like it. It's very good. Well, Dr. Shayette, if someone would like to contact you, what is the address that they could use?
The best way to contact me is through my website. I have a website that's basically my name, sarahshayette.com, sarahshayette.com. And you can find my books on there. You can find, you know, events that I've spoken at and other resources, because I try to give people practical resources of all kinds.
It's a great website. I invite everyone to go to it and everything. Well, the time has come for the end, but thank you so much for coming and being part of our Telesummit. It's really been a pleasure. And I think we've gotten a lot of great tips on how to, you know, make our off time better so that we can have good on time.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you for the work that you do. I'm glad you're back in the saddle and you're doing some really important work tying this all together for people.
Well, thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just want to tell you, stay tuned for our next presenter. And we'll be with you in just a little bit. Thank you.